Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Toyota has been building a legacy of excellence for years. From developing hybrid technology to upping the standards of safety and efficiency, Toyota is always innovating, always making progress. And with Toyota's superior lineup of SUVs in stock at your local Toyota dealer, you can experience the legacy for yourself. So check out an adventure-ready RAV4, designed to be the perfect mix of style, practicality, and go-anywhere attitude. Or test drive a capable and affordable Corolla Cross with the space and available tech to keep you cool and connected. And both RAV4 and Corolla Cross are available with all-wheel drive, giving you the freedom to roam. Quality, reliability, efficiency. That's the legacy of Toyota. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals, to find out more. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Well, fresh off what happened in the Oval Office on Friday with Zelensky, here's what President Trump said today.
I think everybody has to get into a room, so to speak, and we have to make a deal. And the deal can be made very fast. It should not be that hard a deal to make. It can be made very fast. Now, maybe somebody doesn't want to make a deal. And if somebody doesn't want to make a deal, I think that person won't be around very long. That person will not be listened to very long. Because I believe that Russia wants to make a deal. I believe certainly the people of Ukraine want to make a deal. They've suffered more than anybody else. We talk about suffering. They've suffered.
So people asked me on Friday, and they continued, you know, friends and people I know, what'd you think of all that? I loved it. I loved it. Some people said, no, I don't like it. Trump's a bully. You know, he made Putin be the good guy here. I understand there were some things that President Trump said that I don't agree with, especially who started the conflict. But I loved it. And I know I'm not a geopolitical expert, but let's talk to someone who might agree with me. Batyangar Sargon is with us this afternoon. Columnist for the Free Press, of course, has written great books like Bad News, How Woke Media is Undermining Democracy. You kind of liked it, too, on Friday, didn't you?
I loved it.
Yes.
I loved it. It made me so proud to be an American and so proud to have voted for President Trump. It's so insanely rare to have an American president actually stand up for the American people. And that is, of course, what President Trump was doing. The mainstream media was saying, oh, look, he was bullying a weak ally. No, he was standing up for the bullied, abused, used, and fleeced American taxpayer upon whose back the American middle class, the entire post-war international liberal order has rested and has simply sucked the wages of up into the pockets of the elites, who of course don't want this war to end. It was absolutely stunning to see President Trump get angry on our behalf. He wasn't angry on his own behalf. He was angry on our behalf and on behalf of the million men who have died in this ridiculous, needless conflict because the elites benefit from war, and Donald Trump said no more.
Batya, what I said earlier, and that was so well stated, and I've seen your tweets on this, and I read the column in the Free Press, but I kind of got into it with a friend of mine over the weekend that I don't usually get into it over, and he was, you know, offering some of the tropes on Trump with Putin, blah, blah, blah. But I think that one of the dynamics, and you highlight this all the time, and you sort of just did, is that there's this, the white educated Americans, you know, the elites, the ruling class, they don't get that normal people in this country are done with this crap. And there's an unwillingness to understand, I think, from a fair number of people on the left, how many people support this. Like, some of us voted for this, right?
78% of Americans want Ukraine and Russia to sit down and negotiate a peace to an end and a peace to this war right now. 78% of Americans. Now, 100% of the liberal mainstream journalists want Ukraine to keep fighting with our taxpayer dollars. That's fine. You know, they could go join Europe because that's what the European leaders want. They want us to keep paying for this war that has nothing to do with us. And Donald Trump says, no, no more. And you know, Mark, it's so amazing to see them slipping back into Russiagate. Russia, Russia, Russia. Putin and Trump. Trump is a Putin puppet, blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing your listeners need to understand, okay? They don't hate Trump because they think he's in Putin's pocket. They hate Putin because they think he got Trump elected in 2016. And they hate anybody who they think helped Trump. Now, of course, Trump would have won either way, as we saw this time around. He's unbelievably popular. And the platform that he's enacting every single day is unbelievably, unbelievably popular. Every single plank, 65 to 80% support among the American people. We know who the last 15% are. It's the people who hate this country, okay? So we Agreed. Know that it's nonsense. But they blame Putin for helping Trump win, for getting the working class choice into office, for getting working class people what they want and what they voted for. They hate Putin because they blame him for what is nothing more than a functioning American democracy. And because they blame Putin for that, that's why they love Zelensky. They don't have any feelings for Ukraine. They don't care. They don't know where Ukraine is on a map. They never thought about it for a second before Hillary Clinton blamed Putin for 2016.
You're bringing the fire, Batya, this afternoon. In the Free Press piece that you wrote, though, was this a poll? You cited something that this David Burrell did of WIC Insights, where he polled 1,000 people, and he showed the video from what happened last week to these people?
Yeah, exactly. He showed them the 11-minute clip. He didn't show the whole 50 minutes, right? Because we know 40 minutes, it was very
fine.
Civil.
Right.
Even though you can see, as it dawns on Trump, as again and again Zelensky says we need security guarantees, it dawns on Trump halfway through, and you can really see when he realizes it, that Zelensky is trying to rewrite the agreement in real time before the press, right? And that's why Trump, I think, ultimately like let loose on him, because he wanted the people to see what was actually happening there, which is that he was offering an economic agreement, and Zelensky was trying to turn it into a security agreement, the kind that we have with our NATO allies, which Ukraine is not going to get. So he showed them the 11 minutes at the end where it sort of broke down, mm-hmm. where J.D. Vance starts challenging Zelensky. Zelensky yells back and challenges, and then Trump sort of, you know, yells at Zelensky for, you know, 5 minutes, and then, you know, says basically this meeting is over. And he showed it to 1,000 registered voters whose breakdown as Democrats and Republicans is the same as the population at large. And only about, you know, less than half of them thought that Trump had behaved inappropriately. 62% of them said that they found Zelensky's comments offensive, that the war is going to come to the United States at some point. Only a third of them thought that Trump behaved inappropriately at all. You know, they didn't really think Zelensky had behaved terribly either. They just thought, okay, this is what happens between two leaders who disagree on things. And then CNN did a poll, and in that poll they found that 78% of Americans want a negotiated end right now.
What is the expectation on the other side? I mean, this is the question I asked my friend. What do you want to have happen? What's going to end this? If we're not going to go for a ceasefire, if Zelensky's not going to, you know, give. Now, I agree that you have to put Putin, you know, on notice here, too. And there's going to have to be something. I'm not smart enough, Batya, to understand all the delicacies and the particulars of the negotiations. But the bottom line is this war is unwinnable. I mean, I think that's one of the big issues here. It'd be a different scenario if we could win it without American troops. I don't see that scenario.
Well, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, Putin has endless cannon fodder and nuclear weapons. You know, people keep saying Putin can't be allowed to win. I mean, he's won because he has nuclear weapons and endless cannon fodder. So he can keep fighting this forever, and Ukraine can only keep fighting this with our help for as long as we're willing to fund it. And we're not willing to fund it anymore, so it is over. And the fact is, the elites have gotten by, have coasted off the backs of the disappearing American middle class for so long without being answerable to them that they think that it's their party. They think that they get to just dictate things and that the will of the American people, 78% of their fellow Americans, should mean bupkis. And this is how they have been allowed to get away with things for the last decades. I mean, under Obama, under Biden, for sure, you know, under the Bushes, under Clinton. I mean, which of these leaders cared, gave 2 cents what the American people wanted? None of them.
That's a valid question.
Trump is the first one to say, I'm going to do what I was elected to serve, and I am here to serve, and this is what the American people want.
The other thing about all the complaints is that these are people, by the way, who have apparently complete amnesia on what happened the last 3.5, 4 years, with the guy in the White House not even be able to get a couple of words out. But they don't address that at all.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, that was perfect for them because they had no resistance to implementing, you know, the will of the Blinkens and the Sullivans and the other elites in the foreign policy, you know, and Raytheon and all of the, you know, military industrial complex, all the people getting rich off of this, all off of the needless death of 1 million young men, the destruction of 2 countries, you know. They loved that because they didn't have to face up to the music.
That's,
you know,
right.
They could just have whatever they wanted.
Yeah, well, this is a good time as I let you go to recommend a film that I always tell people they should watch. It's a documentary from probably 20 years ago, and it's called Why We Fight. And it's framed around Eisenhower's military-industrial complex speech. And it's really, really good. And unfortunately, Why We Fight is kind of what you just indicated here. There's a lot of money on the line, right? And that's a big motivation. Look, St. Louis benefits. We got Boeing. We have, you know, defense contracts. We understand that. But some of this needs to be under control and under Doja's watch. I think we realize that. Batya, thanks for bringing the fire. You always do. I appreciate it. And is the Free Press kind of a new gig?
Yes. Yeah. Recent thing. Yep. That's right.
I love the Free Press. They're doing great work over there. Some of the only journalism. TheFP.com, I believe, is the website. Thank you, Batya.
Thank you
All right,
so much.
I appreciate it. That was great. Oh, man, I love her sometimes. She just brings it and is a great voice of reason and common sense. You said, before I get to audio cut of the day, because I have a couple of things picked out here, but you said that you listened to the entire Joe Rogan Elon Musk podcast, or at least a good portion of it.
A good portion.
So let me play some of this, because I'm not a conspiracy theorist. You know this, Sue, right?
Yeah.
But the one thing that you and I agree on, I think a lot of people agree on right now, is we don't have a lot of answers about the kid that tried to kill Trump.
We don't.
Right? It's just bizarre to me that we don't have those answers. So that was a topic that came up here on this podcast. Here's something I missed completely. Did you know that this kid was in a BlackRock commercial a couple years ago?
Nope.
Okay, listen to the exchange here.
Why did that guy try to kill Trump and almost succeeded? Why did he do that?
Well, I'd like to know that.
Well, yeah, but
that one's crazy. You know the whole deal with that guy's house, professionally scrubbed, no footprint on the internet, no social media footprint.
Yeah, there's 0% chance that he has no social media footprint.
He was in a BlackRock commercial.
Do you think BlackRock's a bad company?
I don't think any company is a bad company.
Okay.
I think their design is to make as much money as humanly possible. And I think if you're trying to make as much money as humanly possible, you're going to do some things that aren't necessarily good. The question is, if you're going to have an assassination attempt on the president, it's not like BlackRock's board sits down and votes on it.
Yeah.
No, this problem, right?
That would be awkward.
Saying?
You know, I mean, right. The board minutes, if you're like, guys, remember that time when we said,
yeah,
so we probably shouldn't have done that. You know?
I highly doubt it would be a corporation that chooses to do something like this.
Okay, so like kind of dancing around the edges of any kind of motivation for an assassination, you can make your your judgments from there. But I just want to point out, look, BlackRock is a huge investment firm. Why was Thomas Crooks weird in an ad? And that's not just made up. That really happened. They actually scrubbed him from the particular ad. But then they kind of said this here.
I think more likely it's individuals involved that recognize that it's beneficial to them if he gets assassinated. And so a small group of people carry something out. And with this kid, we don't know anything, right? And yeah. everyone stopped asking questions, and yeah. there was never a formal report.
It's
mind-boggling.
So, like, again, here I am, and ordinarily I might say, come on, Joe Rogan, this is not... But I'd like to know some answers to the questions, and there are not answers to some of these questions.
Never press conferences where they detailed all the information that we know currently and where the investigation stands at the moment. What we know is you have a very young kid who was filmed. They knew he was there with a rangefinder a half an hour before the event. You also know that CNN streamed it live, which I do not believe they did for any other rally, and certainly not for a rally that's in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania. Like, there's a lot of weird shit. The fact that they wouldn't let people be on that roof because the Secret Service lady said it was sloped and it was dangerous. That's what she'd want to have. Meanwhile, the snipers that were on the other roof was a steeper pitch. It made sense.
I totally agree. It makes no sense.
So it's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
So I'm going to agree with most of that, and I do agree overall that it doesn't make any sense. The CNN aspect of this, because he seems to be indicating, oh, CNN is involved in this. That's why they aired it live. Here's what I'd say about that. It was a Saturday afternoon. The news business, believe it or not, is just like the economy. It's supply and demand, right?
It is.
So I would tell you that what was happening in the presidential campaign at that moment is Trump was surging because it was in the aftermath several weeks after the debate performance. And I can't remember if this was something that happened. You tell me, Sue, was the assassination attempt before Biden pulled out, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it was.
Yes.
Right. So, yeah. So the focus, a lot of the focus was still on Biden, whether or not he's going to pull up. And here's what I remember about that. So, oh, this is coming together. I never really flush this out on the show, but you might remember an indication, and this started maybe a year ago, that I was having some dialogue with Bob Costas.
Yes,
right?
I do remember.
And Bob had reached out. Now, look, I've never even shaken Bob Costas' hand. He's been on my show a number of times over the years, especially on KMOX, to talk sports or to promote Cardinal Glennon, Children's
right.
Hospital, etc. But he had reached out proactively a year ago. It was probably closer to May. And he wanted to have a conversation. He felt like he wanted to have a conversation with St. Louis about his perspectives because he had gone on. It was Michael Smirkanish's show on CNN and also Bill Maher's show talking about some things. And he was saying, look, and in fairness to Bob, he was calling Biden out saying, look, this guy has got to go. They're not going to be able to win with him. He was very
right.
worried. But he's not. Bob's a TDS guy. He doesn't like Trump at all. But the night before, see, this is all coming back to me. The night before the assassination attempt, on that Friday, I had not heard from Bob in a while, and I reached out to him on that Friday and said, hey, just kind of thinking about you and what your thoughts are, because we were having a dialogue between a lot of this, and then it increased after the debate, and I still was thinking about putting him on, because I thought, I'm just going to be candid, I wanted an opportunity to have him on, and part of my motivation was to get some attention to this damn show.
Right.
Because I knew this bonehead in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that writes about all this stuff all the time would write a column and he'd promote it. And let's face it, Odyssey's not taking out billboards for me here in St. Louis.
Right.
But I had a lot of people that didn't think it was a good idea. So on that Friday night, I called Costas and we talked for a half an hour about this stuff, going back and forth. It was a very civil conversation. There were some points about Biden that he wanted to make. I mean, he thought Biden should absolutely get out at that time.
Did he?
He had been, okay. His part of Bob's point was, I've been saying some of this stuff for a while, and in fairness, he had been, but then the assassination attempt took place. We had agreed. It was funny because I said, all right, well, let's get on a call with my boss, Steve Moore. And Bob's like, yeah, let's do it Monday at 1 o'clock. Okay. So I texted Steve on Saturday. I said, hey, Costas and I would like to get on the phone with you on Monday just because I want to hash this
right out.
And Steve responds at like 2 o'clock that Saturday afternoon. Yes, 1 o'clock. That's good. The assassination attempt is probably, what, 2 hours later?
Yeah.
If that. And I texted Bob the next day. I said, well, I think the circumstances have kind of changed here. Let's put this on hold. And he agreed. And then we've never spoken since for no other reason that the whole thing kind of worked itself out.
It did.
And I don't even know what his thoughts might have been on Kamala Harris. But the point is that, going back to the original point here, so much happened that day that we don't know about, and it's weird the way the media has even handled this.
Agreed. And if this were someone besides Trump, I think we would know every detail.
Look, Sue, I think
here's
so, too.
Here's what happened. We followed it to the nth degree. But also, there was somebody else on Rogan who was more involved in that, who was talking about the fact that nobody really got fired. I mean, the FBI or woman stepped down, but nobody really lost their job.
Yeah, that's ridiculous,
the Secret
too.
Service. I'm sorry. That's who I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And none of that was covered. So life just goes on. Now, if that were reversed and it was someone else, would that be the case? Oh,
I don't
my
know.
Goodness.
Well, you'd almost think that Trump would talk a little bit more about this. Not that he doesn't have more important things on his plate. But we're going to get Selena Zito on, who was there the day of
That's
the assassination
right.
attempt and is writing a book about this that I've already pre-ordered. And, you know, she's raised these points. I've seen her on Twitter about Thomas Crooks and the mystery behind all this. So we'll see if we can get her on tomorrow to talk about it. Audio cut of the day is coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.